You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
I'm going to start with a very personal story. A story that began nearly 41 years ago. And at that time, I was a young student at Cardiff University. And as students do, I used to go to parties, and I happened to gate crash a party in a student house one particular day, and I saw this vision across a crowded room, and it really was a vision across a crowded room, and I saw this beautiful girl, and immediately I found myself attracted to her. Now, at this point, I knew nothing about her, other than the fact that she liked rugby players, because that's who she was with at the time. Okay? But what I saw, I liked. I liked her look. I liked her smile. I liked the way she talked. See, at that moment, the attraction was very much physical. Well, since then, you'll be pleased to know, I've got to know that girl a lot better. Her vivacious personality, her dogged determination, her love for parties and for dancing, as demonstrated earlier. You see, what attracted me at the start was only skin deep. What attracts me now is far deeper and far more real. It's the real person. So now, 41 years later, and nearly 36 years of marriage, I can honestly say that I am still in love with Leslie, my amazing wife. And that I discover, even now, more and more about who she is. And the more I do, the more I'm in love with her. So, why am I telling you this, other than to big up my lovely wife? Well, I'd like to read from Isaiah 61, which is what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Verses 10 to 11 says this: I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Excuse me. So far, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at Isaiah 61, and we've been discovering together, and if you haven't listened to any of them, I really urge you, listen, go online, they're all online, do listen. But it's what Isaiah is doing is showing us our mission as a church, how we are there here to tell the good news to others, the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, those imprisoned by circumstances and fears, for those who grieve, for those in mourning and those in despair, those who need to know justice. And it ends the bit we're looking at with these two quite amazing images. One of a beautifully adorned bride and bridegroom on their wedding day, and another of a garden, a bit like now, springing up with colour and flowers and plants and just looking beautiful. And it's these images that I want to touch on a little bit today. You see, the images that we're looking at there, the image of the bride adorned and the image of the garden that's growing, are outward signs of something that's happening deeper. They're outward signs of a beauty and an attraction that we can see, but they're not the whole picture. You see, this is also a description of the church. You and me. You see, we are to be attractive to the world. And actually, I entitled this, I didn't actually say it, was What Makes Us Attractive? What is it that makes us attractive? You see, we are to be attractive to the world. We are the bride that is being prepared. We will be, as a bride, the church adorned with jewelry. We are being made to look beautiful to the world as we reach with the good news of Jesus. But we're also the soil that has received God's word, the seed that can grow and produce a wonderful garden that people can see. But just like my attraction with Leslie 41 years ago, what started as an attraction on the outside is not the thing that sustains our marriage. It is the attraction of what was in the inside that will sustain a marriage for life. It has to go deeper. You see, even God looks at the heart, not on the outward appearance, which is just as well for some of us.
Very rude.
I was talking about me, of course. So what does this mean for us as God's church? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? What does this mean for our go? You know, the whole thing we've been looking at since January is about our go. What is it about? How can we go and make disciples? What does that look like? You see, if we are to attract others to church, we need to make sure that we're attracting them in the right way. So how did they do it at the start? I'd like to have a look at a very, very well-known scripture, Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, because this starts to give us an idea of what the church did that was attractive. Okay, let's just read it through. So they devoted themselves, this is the church right back at the beginning, the very beginning of the birth of the church. This is what it says about the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, communion, and to prayer. Tonight, everyone was filled with awe and at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, whatever they were doing, it was working. Wouldn't you agree? It was working. They were attractive. Somehow they were attracting people because it said daily people were being saved. Something was right. Something was going on that was working. Okay? People were being attracted and they were giving their lives to Jesus. The church grew. And yet even this seems to be quite outward. You know what I mean? It seems to be things that people can see, stuff that's going on that we can see. We can see, you know, when people have a Bible study, it's pretty much an outward thing. Being together, having fellowship, doing communion, worship, the generosity. In a way, they're still outward signs. They're still things that they're attractive, but they seem to be attractive. They're outward. Do you know what I mean? They are an outward attraction. They're things that the world can see, but they're good. And we need to do those things. And we need to have those things. So here's another question. What was it that first attracted you to CLC? Was it the style of worship? Right this morning. Okay. Was it the happy clappy? Yeah? Was it the style of preaching? Maybe not. Was it the fellowship? The biblical teaching? Or was it something else? You see, I think still for many of us, at times, what we experience on a Sunday, here, like today, this morning, is what attracts us to church. And so it's important that what we do on a Sunday is done well. I want to read from a book by a guy called John Stott. Many of you may have read stuff from him. Incredible, incredible writer about the biblical truths. And he's really somebody to get into, okay? And there's been a bigger book, which has been broken down into smaller books. And this one's about the church, a unique gathering of people. This is what John Stott says. So he's talking about why the church isn't the influence it should be. So it says, what is needed then? First, we need such a faithful reading and preaching of God's word that through it, his living voice is heard, addressing his people. Second, we need such a reverent and expectant administration of the Lord's Supper communion that there is a real presence of Jesus Christ. Can you see where we're going with this? Not in the elements, but among his people and at his table. There should be a sense of Jesus Christ himself, objectively and really present, coming to meet us, ready to make himself known to us through the breaking of bread, and anxious to give himself to us, so that we may feed on him in our hearts by faith. Third, we need such a sincere offering of praise and prayer that God's people say with Jacob, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. And unbelievers will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. You see, what we do here does matter. It is our shop window for the world. It is the outward part of being attractive as church. How we serve here matters. And thank you to the guys that serve us every week in whatever capacity. We need to honor them because they, you know, they matter. What they do matters. What you do matters. It matters that our worship is good. And it was great today. Come on. It matters that our preaching is good. So I apologize. It matters that our children's work and our youth work is good. That it's engaging and well prepared. It matters that when we take communion, we do it reverently and we do it with a real sincere heart. So what we bring, how we serve, matters because it's an outward sign of the love of God that's in our hearts. But for these things to be truly attractive, for these outward things to make a difference, as I've alluded to, there has to be more. On their own, they cannot sustain life. They cannot be the thing that's the only reason we come, week in, week out, and we serve and we submit diligently. There has to be more. Otherwise, we're just going through the motions of ritual. What John Stott was saying in I read there, is that without God at the center of everything we do, then it purely is ritual. Okay? It's purely ritual. It's empty ritual. Unless we bring the presence of God with us in everything we do, all we are is an adornment on a bride. You see, I didn't marry Leslie because of the dress she wore on our wedding day, the jewels she had, the way she did her hair. I didn't marry her because it was all about her outward physical attraction. I married her because I fell in love with the person that was within. It was the person I saw on the inside. So what attracts people here? Well, it may be the worship. It may be the preaching. It may be the style that people feel comfortable with. And that's absolutely fine. And if you're here this morning for the first time, I'd love to find out why you came and what you think of it. Because it matters. It matters that you feel part of who we are. It matters that through this whole service, you have a sense that God is here. You see, it's not necessarily about what's on the outside, but it's on the who's on the inside. And I say who, because the who is Jesus Christ. That's who we all need to be in love with. It's him who sustains the relationship over the years. So, as I said, church must be an outward expression of our relationship with Jesus. That's what fundamentally keeps this going. That's what makes this truly attractive. You see, and I can't answer this question, and I'd be great if anyone can. I don't know why God chose to make himself invisible. Anyone know? Any ideas? I don't know why he chose to be invisible, but he has. We won't need faith. Faith is important. But he chose to reveal himself, firstly through his son, Jesus Christ. And then through us. Ooh, through the church. The way the world sees God is through us. Through creation as well. But ultimately, it's us that are to be the expression of who he is in the world. You see, even Jesus wasn't attractive. Oh, how do I know? And it wasn't because he had a photo. Okay, I didn't Google him. Didn't go on there and do a thing and find image of Jesus. Okay, and there are some quite interesting images of Jesus that people have painted over the years. Okay, but I know he wasn't attractive because it says so in Isaiah 53. That's on there. Is that on there, Isaiah 53? It says, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And yet, Jesus attracted enormous crowds. Thousands flocked. What was it that attracted the people to him? Because it wasn't what he looked like. Didn't have the boy band look. But something was going on. Something that people wanted to know more. You see, what he did was he attracted people because he brought hope. He revealed God's love to the world. He revealed God's kingdom here on earth. You know, this is all about the kingdom over everything. He revealed the kingdom to the people in a way that hadn't been done before. And that's what attracted them to him. Because of what he revealed. You see, it goes on in 1 John 4. It says this. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You see, it's our love for one another and our love for God that ultimately is the expression that allows us to be God's witness to the world. It's our love for the oppressed. It's our love for the widow. It's our love for the orphan, the needy, the poor, all those that need to know God. You see, that's the inward attraction of the church, the love of God himself. And it's through that quality of love, that love that we can express to others as well, that makes God visible and attractive, and therefore makes the church attractive. Are you with me on this, guys? Yeah? Did one or two nod in? I hope you're with me. Okay? Sarah said earlier on, quote, one of the things she wrote was, "Your love is better than life." There you go. It's the love that sustains. It's the love that we have, firstly, for ourselves. We know one day God said to us, "I love you." And like I was praying there, you know, God called my name and called me out of the grave. We were listening to it earlier, weren't we? God called me out of the grave and I responded. I knew his love for me. But then I have to express that love to other people. And that's the invisible that becomes visible. Okay? Fine, is it? So the challenge for us today. You see, I don't want to be offering something that's only skin deep. I don't want to be part of a church that just goes through the motions. Empty ritual without meaning, but without revealing the love of God in our hearts. But praise God, I don't believe I am. I value you and all that you bring. I value your fellowship and your love. I value your hearts to serve and make a difference. I love this church because I do see the love of God revealed. But as we go, the challenge is for us to maintain that and go because of the love of God that calls us to go. And so we've got to make sure that that love is real. So the challenge really is that we maintain such a close relationship with Jesus, such an intimate relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, that we can but do nothing other than express his love outwardly because of what is in us. You see, the beauty I see in Leslie is the beauty that's within. The beauty that people see in the church is the beauty that's within, the love of God. But if we simply come and we don't have that relationship, if we simply come and we just go through the motions and we don't really deeply, truly know that love of God in our lives, day in, day out. So as Leslie said, there is such joy when we know the love of God, when we know he loves us, when we know what he's done for us. It is that joy that comes out, that springs forth. That's the water of life. And that's what we need to have. You see, the challenge is the same. And I'm going to bring this challenge, but it's a positive challenge. And the challenge was set before the church of Ephesus. And it says this in Revelation to the church of Ephesus, which when I read it, over the years, I've read it, I thought, ooh, it's a bit harsh. Ooh, wow. This is all they do and this is what they get. It says this, "I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot," this is, by the way, this is God talking to the church. "I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." Yay! If that was us, I'd go, "Thank you, Lord." That's good. But what does he go on to say? Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. I thought, oh. You see, everything they were doing on the outside still looked good. The outward appearance was good. And yet God knew there was something that wasn't quite right. It was just ritual. They were going through the motions. They were going through the process. But actually, they'd lost that love that was the real motivator. They'd lost the beauty that was inside them. And therefore, it wasn't going to have the same impact, the same effect, because it has to be something different. There are many organizations around the world that can do what we do. Some of them can do it even better. But we're not an organization, we're a family. We're the family of God. We have something they don't. We have the Spirit within us, the love of God within us. That's got to be the thing that determines and makes the change in who we are and what we then become to the world. They lost their first love. The driving force behind their actions no longer revealed the love of God to those they were serving. So, I want to come back, right back, as I close this now, to the beginning verse again. You know, I've highlighted that first verse, that first line. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. You see, it's when we have that connection that is so strong that it allows us to then display everything else. Yeah? You see, it's the love that sets our heart on fire. It's the first love that brings such a joy that we can then wear it as a garment of praise. A joy overflowing. The true beauty of the love we have, a bride being made pure and spotless by Jesus Christ himself. You see, when we do that, when we have that relationship, when we are so caught up in God's love for us and in that relationship, then everything on the outside is good because it comes from what's on the inside. Then we will be genuinely attractive. A church that reveals the heart of God to the world as we go and make disciples. And that's what I want to do. Who wants to do that? Yeah? I want to do that. I'd like just to pray. And that's it. That's my message. I just want to pray. So I want to pray for the church first. And I want to just join me with this. So if you want to, can we stand, please? Is that okay? Because I, as part of that process of just engaging in this, yeah, we don't want to be sitting and being passive. We want to be standing and being active. And I want to pray. And if you feel this is you, just put your hands out, just receive. Because God is here. His Spirit is here. I believe we've been touched this morning already through the worship and everything that's gone on already. There's a real sense of God's presence. We thank you, Lord, you're here. We thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, we desire more. And Father, if we've lost that first love, if we've not got that fire burning deep in our bellies again, can you just ignite it? Can you reignite it? I just pray, Lord, right now, you just fan those flames with your breath. Holy Spirit, come. Will you blow on those embers that maybe are just cooling down a little bit, and then we'll just blow the flame back into life that will just reignite the love we have. That first love that we were so amazed when you came into our lives. that we had to tell the world. We had to tell the world. That was the motivation. Father, we thank you for all these amazing things we can do, which are all important. But Lord, we want them to come from a place of relationship with you, a place where our joy is so abounding, so great, that we can do, but we have to tell the world. Fan that flame, Lord. Thank you that you loved us first. Thank you, Lord, that you came and you set our hearts on fire because you came and you came with a love that we've never known before. I want to pray for if you are here for the first time, or you're online and you're watching this for the first time and you're saying, well, I don't know that love. I want to pray right now that if you just open your heart and say, Lord, I want to receive your love. I want to know that first love for the first time right now. And as you do that, as you come to him, as you just say that, say, Lord, I just want to come to you. I want to just repent and go back on everything in my life and just look forward to you and all that you can be in me. God will come. As Leslie said, it's the best pay it forward scheme in the world. The price has been paid. All you've got to do is accept it. Take the chip and say, yes, I'll have that, please. And if you're here this morning and that's you, I would love to pray with you. Or for Leslie, she'd pray with you. Or the person you're with, they will pray with you. The best decision you've ever made. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your continued love in our lives. Help us, Lord, as we go, that love will be our motivator. In Jesus' name, amen.